In the name of Jesus, amen. In our gospel reading for today, we find a potent example of the fifth commandment. The elders and I studied this commandment in the large catechism on Thursday. And then I came Friday, Saturday to look at this text and I said, wow, there it is. There's the fifth commandment beautifully illustrated for us. So what is the fifth commandment, of course? You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Notice I didn't test you on that one. Couldn't test myself. Jesus here is our good shepherd, and he keeps this commandment perfectly. But the wolves and the hired hands do not. The wolves and the hired hands have different priorities. The wolves here, any kind of person that seeks to devour God's sheep, to use and abuse them for financial gain, for fame, for prosperity, any sort of thing, to use and abuse God's sheep. The hired hands see these wolves and they, hey man, not my battle. And they step away and they run. These hired hands, they say, well, my life matters more than my neighbor's. My life matters more than these sheep. I don't want to die. I don't want to be taken advantage of. I'm out of here. They fear the adversaries of the gospel. And so when the going gets tough, they get out of there. Right? But Jesus is not like these wolves or these hired hands. He is our good shepherd, a noble, a right shepherd. He knows you. Intimately knows you. As he knows the Father, so he knows you. And even though he sees all your sins and iniquities, he still yet loves you. He has all reason to run away, to get out of there, to say, hey man, you chose this road for yourself, I'm done. But he doesn't. He does not abandon his sheep. He knows you and he loves you. And to this extent that he lays down his life for you on the cross. And he takes it back up again. This command he has from his Father. That you might have life and have it abundantly, he says. Not only on this side of glory, but the next. Eternal life and good pastures, good waters. Yes, Jesus keeps the fifth commandment perfectly. He doesn't hurt or harm you, but helps and supports you in every need. Like I said, the wolves and the hired hands, they do not. They break this commandment, this fifth commandment, in two ways. The wolves can represent for us the sins of commission, of breaking this fifth commandment, and the hired hands, sins of omission. I'll explain what I mean. Sins of commission can be seen both externally and internally. That is, these wolves, what do they do when they see the sheep? Their lips get salivated and they devour them. They seek to murder God's people to the fullest extent, to murder your neighbor. This is to break the fifth commandment externally, to hurt, to harm, to physically abuse, and ultimately kill their neighbor. But Jesus interprets this fifth commandment for us also internally. Lest those who say, well, I've never hurt anybody, I've never killed anyone, say, I've kept this fifth commandment perfectly. Yeah, right, right? Anyone who hates his neighbor has murdered him in his own heart, Jesus says. He who hates his brother murders him in his own heart. So anytime you've gotten angry, or you've wished, oh, I just wish that person would get hurt or would die, we've murdered them in our own hearts. We've broken this commandment. So be it external or internal, we have all sinned in the sense of the commission of sins here in breaking the fifth commandment. We have a great example of this, perhaps not great is the best word, a very relevant example of this down in Casper this last week on Sunday. I don't know if you've heard of it, but there was a little scuffle at the mall there in Casper. Amongst some young teens around the age of 14. And two of them jumped another boy. One held him, kicked him down to the ground, and the other came up with a kitchen knife and stabbed him. Now, we can see the outward act here, but first and foremost, there was hatred in these boys' hearts towards this son. And then the outward act commences. But they weren't the only ones guilty in this scuffle. There were many more, which the paper does not note, and note well as being condemnatory, but which our Lord does. These are the sins of omission. That is, those who were standing around, who blocked the escape, who formed the fighting square, who watched and pulled out their phones to video the whole thing. That is sins of omission, failing to help when they should have helped, failing to step in and say, knock it off, get out of here, failing to pull the boys off one another and separate them, that this young man might still be alive. This is the sins of omission. Externally, it is failure to help. It is to stand and spectate, to watch, and to maybe video these things for the sake of views and likes. My goodness. Like that matters more than the life of a young man. So these sins of omission here, we can see externally as failures to act, but internally they have no compassion for their neighbor. And in this way, these sons and daughters of our nation and state and local towns, they are equally condemned with these two young boys who committed the act. In the eyes of God, they also failed. They failed to help in time of need. In terms of our gospel text, the two boys were like the wolves who saw the sheep and attacked, and those who stood around are like the hired hands who, when they saw the wolves coming, stepped back and fled. Equally guilty, for neither of them cared for the sheep. But our good shepherd does. Our good shepherd did care for that boy, and this is what he did for him. He lays down his life for that sheep as he lays down his life for you. He bears the sins and iniquities not only of that young boy, but of the two who committed the murder and those who stood by. He shed his blood for the hired hands and for the wolves, to forgive his enemies, to forgive even those who hurt and harmed his people. And since this commandment shows us all that we are sinners and we have all broken it in many ways, know this, that Jesus lays down his life for you and in his blood shed for you on the cross forgives you of all your sins. He daily puts to death the old murderous hired hand and wolf within you. He drowns it in baptism and raises it up anew daily because he gives you life. As he took up his life again, so does he daily raise you up in the waters of baptism and gives you his own resurrected life. He creates in you a clean heart and puts a right spirit within you, a right spirit, a noble spirit, a good spirit, the spirit of our good shepherd, the spirit of he who cares and loves his sheep. Now, because of our shepherd's good gift to you, now you do love as he loved you. Now you do care about your fellow man as he cares for you. Now you do have compassion for the people you find everywhere in your daily life. Not only for the sheep, but also for the hired hands and the wolves. You have compassion for them. When you see the sinner, you call him to repentance, that he might live. For our Father in heaven does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he would turn from his sinful ways and live. This is now who you are in Christ Jesus. Our good shepherd is working in you and with you to fulfill his word to Ezekiel, as we read today. Through you, Jesus is finding all his lambs, his sheep, who are lost, all those who are not yet part of this flock, and he's bringing them home in repentance and faith, rejoicing. When he finds them and they repent, there is joy even in heaven over one such sinner. And so we rejoice every time the Lord brings one of these home to us, be they a hired hand or a wolf at one time. Now they are God's sheep. He does this so that there may be one flock, one shepherd, one people of God, basking in his love. I'd like to look now at Ezekiel chapter 34 and interpret it in light of this reality. Jesus says, "In you and through you, I myself search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is coming among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out all the lost of the world and deliver them from the places where they were scattered." He draws all people to himself by being lifted up on the cross. This is what he says. Through his sacrifice for us, all people are, and all people of all nations are brought into his church. Not only does he gather us, he feeds us. He gives us his word. He gives us his sacrament. He forgives our sins and gives us a new life that we may live it in the full. He makes us to lie down amongst one another, no longer at war, but at peace with God and at peace with our brethren. For we are not fighting now. You're sitting there patiently listening and saying, "When is this sermon going to be over?" Right? The Lord says through Ezekiel, "I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick." This he does through many of you. "But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them with judgment." This he also does through some of you who are put in positions, who bear the sword which the Lord gives to our governing authorities and to moms and dads to punish wickedness and vice, to punish those who would take up a kitchen knife and seek to harm their neighbor. This sword, the sword of the government, God gives to some of you. I don't know if Forrest is among us, but there are others, or soldiers and the like, to punish wickedness and vice, to bring judgment upon the fat and the strong. There is temporal consequences for these sins, and it is good and right that these boys face the full extent of the law. But I would also have a strong word for those who stood by and watched and videoed this thing. They are equally guilty. Lord, have mercy on them. And I would pray also that he would give them a clean conscience and take away the shame of what they have done. My friends, it is not good for us to abide with any kind of criminality in our land. There's often a prevailing spirit that says, "Hey man, it's not your problem. Don't be a busybody. Don't get involved in other people's business. Just turn a blind eye and keep on going, right? Stay in your lane," they say. But how can we stand idly by while sinners and victims need the very Jesus we have and which we proclaim? To turn a blind eye is to be like these hired hands, to be like these sons and daughters who pulled out their phones. It's not my business. I don't care for them. No, we are to actively be involved in the community and the world around us, in our neighbors' lives. Not as busybodies, no. I'm not pulling up to your houses with binoculars and saying what sins are going on in there. At the same time, if I see it, right, we do something about it. If you see your brother caught in a sin, confess the truth to him, bring him to repentance, bring him back. It is your business because it is our Lord's business. And he loves them, and so do you. So if you see your neighbor stealing a couple of things, putting a few things in his pocket at the store, you say, "Stop that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not steal." This is breaking our Lord's seventh commandment. He has much more to give to you. If you need money, you need something, I will supply it. Stop this. Or if you hear your barber blaspheme the name of our Lord, as I have heard, and I have been like the hired hand and said nothing, we can easily say, and good to say, do not use our Lord's name in vain. Because he's not just my Jesus, he is their Jesus. And God will not hold guiltless those who take his name in vain. So Lord, have mercy on us when we stand idly by and let these great evils befall our fellow man, whether they are the sinners or the victims of such situations. It is good for us when we're going through the store and we hear this young child mouthing off to his mom. We say, knock it off. Hey, I don't know you, right? Knock it off. Honor your father and your mother. This is good and right. And the mom there might now turn her anger from her child now to you. Who are you to say such things to me and to my son? Rather than praising you and saying, thank you. Yeah. She'll be now mad at you. And that is probably because she's embarrassed. Okay. Who are you to say such things? Well, so says the voice of our shepherd, who cares for you, O mom, and cares for your son. This is the voice of our good shepherd, who lays down his life for us. So don't badmouth your mom. God wants you to speak good things to her. He's put her into your life for good things, to provide for you. You're here at the store so she could buy you food and drink and clothing and house and home. Do not badmouth your mother. This is our Lord's gift to you. And brethren, if we face great evils because of our standing up for the truth, for caring for our neighbor and our communities, let us look again at our epistle to 1 Peter chapter 2. And see the example of our Lord who did such things for us. We have the same Spirit. We have the same Lord living in us and working through us, by whose stripes we are healed. When we're reviled, let's not revile in return. When we suffer, we do not threaten, but commit ourselves to Him who judges righteously. And if we suffer for doing good, so be it, and praise the name of the Lord our God, whose good shepherd He has given to us. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.